Welcome to a session of Teaching Others Also. Our subject today is Bible Science. Bible Science. I've titled it that for a very good reason, and I trust that you will follow along and allow a few minutes to establish this thought as our subject. Bible Science. Now, when we say the Bible, we are saying the book. The word Bible means book. That's where it comes. It comes from a couple different words. For example, back in Greek beginnings, into Latin, it was from Biblios. So when we say the Bible, we are saying the book. Because Bible is another word for book, and saying the Bible, saying the book. Now this is important. We say the book, not to the exclusion of all other books, but to the superiority and the excellence and exaltation above all those books when it comes to certain knowledge. That's significant. Because you see, what's happened lately is people have forgotten that that's why. People have completely forgotten why things are the way they are. So, what we have is we have the book, not to the exclusion of all other books, but definitely to the superiority and excellence and exaltation above those books, especially in certain knowledge. And just keep that word in mind, knowledge. Now, the Bible has earned its title and place in this world. And even if some, even many, denounce or degrade it or deny it, that does not change what it is. You could deny your own name. People have, you know, been under interrogation and in fear of getting caught doing something wrong and have denied. It doesn't matter. You could deny that falling off a 20-story building is going to hurt you, and your body will prove that it will hurt you. And so the Bible has earned its title and its place in this world, and even if many people denounce it or deny it or degrade it, it doesn't change the Bible. Now, it will, however, block a person from the superior light and the revelation that is found first and foremost in the Bible. God himself has put his word above his own name, and God highly values the use of his name. Because the Bible says in Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So God has himself has put his word above his own name. He has magnified it. He's made it bigger than his own name. So to reject God's word is even more negative than rejecting God's name. You might choose, for whatever reason, take his name lightly. Now, God's not going to take that lightly that you do. Excuse me. But I'll say this to you. He wants us to take his word seriously. Okay? So notice in that verse, Psalm 138:2, the use of the word thy truth. Okay? Now, God's word, and in our lesson we're calling it the Bible. Okay? The book. God's word is truth. Jesus Christ said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Someone thinks they're being clever when they say, well, what is truth? And I'm actually quoting Pilate in John 18:38. And it's not clever. It's rather a fair bit dangerous and foolish. Because denying the truth does not change or affect the truth, but rather the one who chooses to disbelieve that truth. See, unbelief and deniable, scoffing, critical attitudes, they keep the truth from having its intended effect upon an individual. The Bible is not changed by it, and nor am I if I will not give the place. See, God cannot change me with the help of his word, if I will not accept his word. In Mark 7:13, the Lord Jesus Christ said they were making the word of God of none effect through their tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So you could teach something, and then believe something or receive something, and it could take something as wonderful as the book and block you from having light about this book. Now, this is a great thing, what I'm about to say here. It's very important. The majority of the Bible cannot be understood without having the same spirit, capital S, okay, the same spirit as the author. And the author is God. The majority of the Bible cannot be understood without having the same spirit as the author, which is God. So what God did was God put some things in the book, the Bible, which he knew mankind could get, could grasp by common sense. And then the rest of the book, now listen, probably about 98% of it, he coded it spiritually. Now, he didn't code it with mathematics. He didn't code it with a codice. He coded it spiritually so that only those who will receive his son and listen to it may get it. Because, and I say may, because revelation's by permission. Now, a child is offered this wisdom if they'll come and believe God. Now, what we see is then, we see many times a person's experience or their education or their emphasis gets in the way. So, our subject is Bible science. And I'm going to show you here that Bible science can also be said as this, Bible knowledge. Okay? Because science, by dictionary definition, okay? Science, by dictionary definition, means several things. And it's one of those things that we have lost sight of, okay? So science, by dictionary definition, says this, a clear and certain perception of that which exists or of a truth or a fact. Okay? Get that now. A clear and certain perception of that which exists or of truth or fact. The perception of the connection and agreement or disagreement and repugnance of our ideas. Ready? Learning, illumination of mind. And here's a quote from Webster's. Ignorance is the curse of God, knowledge the wing wherewith we fly to heaven. Unquote. We can have no knowledge of that which does not exist. This is part of his quote. God has a perfect knowledge of all his works. Human knowledge is very limited and is mostly gained by observation and experience. This is very important. This is crucial. Okay? Science is synonymous with the word knowledge. Bible science would be a knowledge of the Bible or the knowledge the Bible gives you. So we could be educated in math science, for example. We could be educated in biology science. We could be educated in chemical science, engineering science, husbandry science. But we are lacking what we need to know about God if we don't have Bible science, Bible knowledge. Now, where the two conflict, obviously conflict, since the Bible is the book, I'm going to take the book. Not because I haven't read other books, not because I'm ignorant, but because one book is going to stand out over the others. So Bible science, then, in its most widely used and applied definition, is Bible knowledge. And Bible knowledge is the way to God knowledge. Example, Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 30 verse 3 says, I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. And there is coming a day when, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 11, 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, in the day in which we live, and this is no new thing, okay, there are those who would have us believe that all we know of math, science, biology science, chemistry science, etc., came from observation and experimentation. And that is simply not true. It is clearly a lie. Listen, much of what we know about mathematics, about biology, about ecology, about chemistry, was first given to mankind from God, and much of it's recorded in His Word. This is why the Bible warned 2,000 years ago about a deception that's going on today. 2,000 years ago, God had a man write these words, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen." There is a false science that tries to usurp itself above the knowledge of God and the knowledge from God. Now, we are not as many Christians who just totally discredit science. That's foolish. Science is knowledge. There's all many different kinds of knowledge. I have great respect for physicians who have studied their trade, and especially those who have tried to study it from a standpoint of finding out what really God has said about it and what we've learned from it. But there's a false science, science falsely so-called, 1 Timothy 6:20 and 21. And now, friend, that truth is hidden in all your other English versions. Okay? Just get that. So God knowledge is above earthly knowledge. Let me give you an example. You may have heard of Daniel and the three Hebrew children from the Old Testament. In Daniel 1 and verse 4, it says, "Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." These young men, they knew both earth science and Bible science. Or you might say, they knew both earth science and God science. Now, by the way, okay, Daniel took place about 550 B.C. How's that for being ahead of science, falsely so-called? You see, these boys, they weren't just gifted with a regular old learning. They had the earth sciences down. They had languages. They could learn languages. But they knew God. So much so that when God did certain things through them, that the men in leadership pronounced that their God was special, pronounced that their God was superior. Bible knowledge, Bible science, has given mankind insight into math and chemistry and astronomy and psychology and philosophy and many other disciplines. It's not there in your notes, but the man who made the greatest strides in the early days of anesthesia got his initial inspiration by reading the account where God put Adam to sleep and made Eve from a rib he took out of Adam. And he began to pursue and said that he felt like God would show him how to do that. You see, we should never, ever think that we're smart or wise or educated if we disacknowledge, if we do not acknowledge or disavow Bible knowledge, Bible science. See, Bible science has given mankind insight into math, chemistry, astronomy, psychology, philosophy, many other disciplines. And it did so before the supposed discoveries. Before many things were ever observed or experientially learned, they were communicated to mankind from God Himself as a statement. And since there is no disputing that this entire universe was designed by someone with more intelligence than all the humans combined, there is no way to mistake that. A person, no matter how educated, would have to be sticking their head in a hole in the ground. They'd have to be putting their head in a bucket three times and only pulling it out twice. We know who made it all. Because God is before all things, because God communicated to mankind bits and pieces of His own wisdom, and we could not begin to comprehend or hold what is in God's mind. The book of books, the Bible, has things recorded in it that were put in there hundreds and thousands of years before man so-called observed or documented them. So, for this session, we're going to take a few more minutes and talk about this thought. The Bible is a scientific book. We're going to follow it up with the Bible is a sayings book. But today, we're going to talk about the Bible as a scientific book. And we're going to just give you a handful of references, just as an example. There's many more, but we're not going to exhaust them. But I want to kind of whet your appetite for this thing. The Bible's been ahead of the world science for hundreds and thousands of years. Example, Luke 17, verses 30 to 34. Keep in mind, these were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Here's what he said. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed, one shall be taken, the other shall be left. He started off by saying, in the day. In that day, the man on the housetop. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is revealing right there and telling everybody? He's telling everybody that day and night happen at the same time on the earth. And when the event he speaks of takes place, it'll be night in one place, day in another, which can only happen if the earth is a globe, a sphere, and the solar system is what we know it to be today. And this is nearly 1,500 years before Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Okay? Get this. This is so important. The Lord Jesus Christ tells them 1,500 years ahead of time about it. Now, couple that with the Old Testament teaching out of Isaiah 40, 21 to 23. Ready? Isaiah. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Now stop a minute. We're going to go on. There's more to this statement. If I haven't known, if I've not heard, if I've not been told, if I don't have the understanding, then that part of me is ignorant. You know, in English, there's some words that just, even if you didn't know what they meant, they sound bad. Ignorant. It just sounds offensive, doesn't it? It sounds like a negative statement. No way a person, young or old, can consider themselves educated if they do not understand from the foundation of the earth this. This is what Isaiah goes on to say. Okay? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. The circle of the earth is a globe. It's a globe. And you see, the whole idea is that he's letting them know it's a circle in every direction you can go, and that cannot describe a flat object. So back in Isaiah's day, hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? In Isaiah's day, he said, if you don't know this, you're missing something. Because it's been known from the foundation of the earth. From the foundation of the earth. Listen, man has purposely blocked out the knowledge of God to try to get away from God or do away with God, and God can't be done away with. Here's some more stuff. Ecclesiastes is a book in the Old Testament. You may have heard of it. Ecclesiastes and Proverbs were written by Solomon. And Solomon lived about, approximately, he dedicated the temple at about 1000 BC. So that would be 3000 years ago. Here's what he said. Ecclesiastes 1, 6 and 7. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, and the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Solomon says these things approximately 1000 BC, and he describes the circuits of the wind around the globe while also describing the paths of the rivers and the system of rain for the earth. 3000 years ago. In writing. Let's go a little further back. Let's go to what's called the book of Leviticus. The first five books of the Bible are attributed to Moses, given to Moses. Moses, of course, lives after that first book of the Bible called Genesis. And so at around 1500 BC, this was written. Ready? When he that hath an issue, talking about a sickness, It could be a blood issue. It could be leprosy, etc. When he that hath an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, ready, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. 1500 B.C. God gave his people these instructions hundreds of years before anyone discovered or figured out anything about the value of washing under running water. How could Moses know this? Because the God who made all things gave him knowledge and insight. These are from God. These are right there in the Bible. These are in the Bible where a child can read them. Here you go. Now, I'm about to give you a quote from the oldest book in the Bible. It was written after the flood, about 1800 to 1750 B.C. Job 37:7. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Now, Job's the oldest book on earth, written after the flood, about 1800, 1750 B.C. The people of post-Noah's flood day knew that each person's fingerprints are unique to that person. And the earliest record we have of anybody demonstrating that or making use of it is around the mid-1800s A.D. Okay? So you have a gap there of about 3,500 years. Okay? 1800 one way, 1800 the other. And it wasn't until then that did mankind's so-called science discover the one who put those significant seals there knew about it all along, and he shared it with someone who would believe him, named Job. And the one who knew was God. Here's another one out of Job. Job 25:5. Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. So what do we learn? As far back, okay, as far back as Job, which I just mentioned, is at least 1800 B.C. As far back as Job, God told man the moon had no light of its own. So a believer of God's words knew this over 3,500 years ago. Now, how amazing is that? How wonderful is that? Now, this is just a small thing. It's just a short thing. But what this is there to just kind of get you thinking in your mind. Bible science is Bible knowledge. The word science is knowledge. Now, Bible science then is superior to other science. That doesn't make all other science foolish or ineffective. A Bible-believing Christian does not discredit the things that man has done, been able to do and learn. Why, we know that God has granted people great advancements in the knowledge of what it takes to help somebody medically, physically, psychologically. And in this sense, we've just used a little bit of what we would call science. There are chapters we can do, and we will do in the future, on psychology, philosophy, on the things that God, on sayings, the things that God said, my Bible is superior to everything else. And I trust that this has just been a little bit of an encouragement, if you're already a believer, a little bit of a challenge, if what you're doing is kind of fussing with God or fighting, and maybe a little bit of light if you're looking for it. And I'll be praying to that end.